Neverland Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com.
Live.
A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
And we start with a live look at the south end zone at Everbank Field. Construction continues. The new Prowl entrance well underway. And we welcome you inside Everbank Field in the HananiaAutos.com studio. JP Shadrick with you on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. Plenty to get to today. A jam-packed show. It starts with Dwayne Walker, Jaguars defensive backs coach. He'll join us on the program. Brian Sexton will jump in with this or that today. And Jeff Darlington from NFL Network was here this past weekend to talk to some of the rookies. We'll get his take on the Jaguars haul in the draft. And we welcome in John Osier, and we welcome in DB's coach Dwayne Walker. What's up?
Hey, just working, my man.
Yeah, you are. You've got a lot of new faces to work with now, too. You're a busy guy.
Yeah, we have a couple new ones.
Yeah, let's start off with the newest then. Jalen Ramsey, 5th overall pick. I mean, you had to be one of the happiest guys in the room, right, when they announced that name.
Well, he's a talent for sure, and he's definitely going to bring a whole lot to our secondary. So anytime you get a player of his caliber, you got to be excited.
What are your first impressions of him? I mean, we've seen him on camera, and we've seen him. He's clearly very comfortable there and very confident. In the room, in your conversations, what are your impressions of him as you get to know him?
Well, he's a talent, and I think he's aware that God gave him a lot of ability. But at the same time, he's very competitive. He's smart. He's picked things up pretty quickly. So I've been impressed with him, with him understanding his talent level. But at the same time, he's very, very competitive.
And both Todd and Gus have talked about wanting to get him in a spot, get him a corner where he can learn it. How important is it for him to focus on that one spot, to get better there, and to really sort of master that spot?
Well, it's a different league, obviously, from college. Very good players in our league, and I think just bringing him in, learning how we play, and then at the same time understanding our scheme and not trying to put a lot of pressure on him initially, but giving him the time to learn the scheme and the technique part of it, I think it's good for him.
Coach, a lot of folks will kind of look at his numbers at Florida State and say, oh, he only had 3 picks in 3 years. He's not a ball-hawking type of guy. Can he be that guy? He can be a turnover guy, right?
Yes, he has good ball skills, good hands. I think he'll get some opportunities, so I'm not as concerned. It's just a matter of him being able to make those plays under pressure when balls are thrown at him.
A lot of other guys in the room now, too. We go to free agency. Prince Amukamara brought in, to Sean Gibson, the safety, brought in from Cleveland. Let's start with Prince on the outside. And it adds to a cornerback group that I think there's like 25 corners on the team right now or something like that, right? It's not that many. It's quite a few. But Prince is here now, a guy who's been in the league, going into his 5th season. You've got a lot to work out in this group of cornerbacks right now. Where do you start with a guy like Prince, and you got House coming back, and Gratz and McCray are in their 4th year. Colvin will be back in week 6. It's a lot to filter through right now, right?
Well, they're not babies anymore, so all these guys have some years under their belt. And the cool part about it, these guys are pros. They're competitive. They respect the game. So it's been fun working with all these guys from a professional standpoint.
Take us through Prince Amukamara. The first time you had a chance to look at him, what did you like about him? And now that you've interacted with him a little bit, what do you see?
The one thing that I was impressed with that really got me very interested in him is his ability to play our style of bump and run. Mm-hmm. It's a different style of bump and run. A lot of veteran guys have their own style and their own way of wanting to do things, so you have to break them and then build them back up. But the nice thing with him is that he understands how we play our bump and run technique, and I think that'll be an advantage for him.
Now, you haven't coached him in a game yet, but you've seen plenty of tape. This is a guy that maybe people forget is an elite-level talent. This is a first-round corner. Do you see that when you see him play? He's had injuries, but I assume when you see this guy play, you see a guy who can be a front-line guy in this league.
I do, because of his experience. Mm-hmm. He knows our league. He understands what it takes. He definitely brings some intangibles that fit our defense, so I think those are definitely advantages for him.
I would assume this is by far the deepest cornerback group you've had. Colvin, Amukamara, I mean, you've got guys who can play front line 4 or 5 deep at this spot. Is it the best deepest group you've had here?
I think so. When you look at, you know, great teams or great defenses or great positional groups, now Daniel and myself and obviously Coach Wash and Gus, now we have to bring it all together. Mm-hmm. So it's one thing to have the talent. Now we have to get this talent to work together and perform at a high level.
You might have very good players not on the field at times for you next year.
Yeah.
Good problem to have.
Very true.
Tashawn Gibson is one of the additions as well. We look at the Jaguars' safeties now. I mean, Gibson kind of leads the way. He's the veteran guy of the safety group. You got Cyprian coming back in his fourth year on the strong side. Evans, Loston, Wolf, Sample, and Wilson kind of round out the safety group here. But Tashawn Gibson, a guy who's played at a high level in the league in Cleveland, you bring him in now and kind of anchor the back end of your defense. Right. He's a pro. He's played at a high level throughout his career. And you like that guy on the back end of your defense, I'm sure.
Well, he's one thing. He's very talented. He's very explosive. He has good ball skills. But the one thing I've been very impressed with is he's a leader. And it's good to have a player that's taking everything that we talk about in our meeting rooms and in our classrooms, and he's taking it into the locker room. So it's good to have a guy like that that's going to support not only the guys in our room, but also going to support the coaches and do it the right way.
Now, we've talked a lot over the years about Sip, and the thing with Gibson coming is he not only makes you better at free safety, but there's talk that he can make Sip better at strong safety. You feel that as well? Is that something you adhere to, I guess?
Well, no question. He's putting his arms around Sip already, and I think that's pretty cool just to share some of his experiences. And he's had some highs and lows in his career, and I think he's very good for Sip just to be able to relate some of those things to him.
Now, in talking to Gus earlier, he clearly thinks that Sip, when he was just in the box, when he was close to the line of scrimmage and playing that sort of role, there's a belief that he can play that very well.
Yes. You know, I don't know if a lot of people understand, when Sip was in college, he really played in a split safety defense where he was away from the ball quite a bit, and he was obviously one of the better players, so he was able to kind of do whatever he wanted to do. And then coming into our system, being in the box and having to do some things that were different, I thought last year he really started to understand our game in terms of his run fits and his drops and all that. So we're excited to see him, you know, take that next step.
Coach, are you on social media at all?
No, not at all.
You're not?
Not
even as a
all.
Former college coach, you would think you would be looking out for guys on your team there, no?
That's why you hire good coaches and football operations guy and all that.
That's a good
not publicly. He has one of those secrets.
So he
follows us.
So
yeah. He follows us.
But I'm not a big Twitter guy or Facebook guy or anything like that. But I know in college when I was a head coach, there were times I would have to do it. But it's good to have people around you that could help you with that.
Okay, well, we're going to help you with it today. There are some questions from fans on social media. We'll start off on Instagram. M. Chevry asking, what are the top three attributes an athlete needs in order to be a successful corner? Are there three that stand out to you?
Well, one is a short memory, because you're going to get isolated, especially in our system as a bump and run corners, and we play a lot of one-on-one. So, you know, you want a guy that have confidence, fundamentally sound, and just a guy that understands that you need to win your targets, and that's something we've talked about quite a bit this year, that you have to win your targets. So if they throw the ball at you 10 times, how many times are you winning? So I just think when you become an elite corner in this league, you got to win.
Let's move along. Dirty Three asking, what do you see on Jalen Ramsey? I think he's the best corner that came out in this draft. You talked a little about Jalen, but when you first saw him on film, do you remember what stood out about him?
Well, he's competitive,
yeah. And
he's long. I mean, he's just a freak athlete. You know, you don't see – the last time I've seen an athlete like this was Sean Taylor, even though Sean Taylor played safety, but – they're just, you know, freakish in terms of their running abilities, their jumping abilities, and I just think he has the skill set to be a polished corner along with his IQ and being very competitive.
Now that's an every 10 or 15-year guy.
Oh, yeah.
Athletically.
Oh, yeah.
You smile at that.
Oh, yeah.
You like that.
It's good. I had a chance to be around both of them.
That's right. We mentioned Gibson and Cyprian, but the next question from Albert Davila 24 is asking about James Sample. Is he going to get more reps? I feel like he's a hard hitter, and with the right coaching, he should be something special. What about James Sample?
Well, to
the right coaching, he just said.
Yeah, right.
You noticed that?
There you go.
I said it again?
That's what it said. That was a question.
I call it just said with the right coaching. He's
putting
it on you.
Wow, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Definitely appreciate that. You have to realize with Sam, you know, he missed quite a bit of ball last year because of his injury. So I think with him, he's behind Sip right now and really just bringing him along and reteaching him. We kind of moved him around strong safety, free safety. So we're just going to put him down strong safety and let him start over again and let him compete.
One final question, this one off Twitter, Coach, from Hodori 11. What can you do differently with all the talent now that you have that you might not have been able to do last year? What's going to be different about this secondary in 2016?
I think as a coach, and I've been fortunate to been in leadership roles, and the one thing I've learned, not that I'm the greatest coach ever, but I do have some experiences just being around great coaches and having a chance to lead. When you have good chemistry, when the players are really emulating the coaching, that's when it works. And I just think right now our group, our chemistry is probably the best that we've had. So I think that that would really help. We have good talent, and these guys are working their tails off. And with the chemistry, I think that's going to help us a lot this year.
They seem to be at a good stage in their career, too. You mentioned it, but I was talking to Sean Gibson the other day. There's not a guy over 26, but there's a lot of guys right in that 26 to 24-year-old range, a lot of guys who feel like they're ready to sort of take hold of their careers, if you will.
That's right, and these guys are pretty fortunate because they played a lot of football, too. So it's good to have some experience, and you're young with young legs. And I know guys like Gibson and Prince and House and with the, you know, with Sip and these guys, Colvin, these guys are growing up a little bit. I think it's been very good for our room.
Coach, thanks for taking some time for us today, and we're looking forward to seeing your secondary. Real soon, OTAs start, what, 2 weeks, I guess.
It's so time to go to work.
Let's do it.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thanks,
great
Coach.
Stuff,
Dwayne Walker joining us, Jaguars defensive backs coach on Jaguars.com Live. The players this weekend out at TPC Sawgrass, the Jaguars will be all over it this weekend and starts Thursday with the first round. Carson Tinker with a Snapchat takeover. That'll be interesting. Friday, Brian Walters takes over Instagram, and Tony Baselli takes over Twitter. And then Saturday, an Instagram Snapchat takeover with all the rookies. They'll be at the course on Saturday.
A lot of takeovers there,
use
JP.
The hashtag Jaguars all weekend at the players at TPC Sawgrass. JP Shadrick, John Osier, Brian Sexton in with us now.
A lot of takeovers out there.
Oh, they're taking over. They are taking over.
Speaking of taking over, here
Brian
we go.
Sexton joins us.
That's right.
Brian Sexton with us now. In secondary, that's going to be a big upgrade. It sounds like a lot of new faces in there, guys who've played at a high level in the league before, and the sky's the limit almost with this guy.
Well, you know, there was a school of thought out there when they signed Tashaun Gibson and Prince Amukamara that the Jaguars were set, that they would be fine, and they would address other areas. But when Jalen Ramsey was there, he went from making them fine to making them rich. Right? I mean, because that's what they are right now, with a seminal talent like that. Or you could call him a seminal talent, I guess, if you want.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm taking over linguistically.
When you work
too.
With words.
Yeah, yeah. Word to your work, right? So when you've got that kind of talent out there now, you've got a guy in Prince Amukamara that you thought could start outside. Now maybe you can move some things around. You've got Gibson, who you really like, and I heard you talking with D-Walk about what that means for Cyprian. I mean, it's just the last couple of years we've talked about, yeah, they need a little of this and a little of that, and all of a sudden it's like, you forget Aaron Colvin's gone for the first four games of the year, right? I mean, that's a guy that this franchise holds a lot of promise for. And we're not even talking about him missing. That shows where they are right now.
Well, and everywhere the roster is so much deeper. And I think a secondary is a perfect example of that. In the past, you thought yourself going into the season, all right, they're okay at nickel as long as Colvin can do a good job on the outside and then move in. And then you thought, well, they're okay at safety as long as Cyprian's okay and as long as Josh Evans comes along and play. Well, now you've got a situation where if somebody gets hurt, you're not sitting there on Tuesday night wondering how you're going to line up.
Right.
And you have options, and you finally have what is starting to look like a deep enough roster to function. I'm not going to call it a mature roster yet because that happens as these guys play more. But you certainly feel better about the depth and just the pure athletic ability. You're not overmatched in the secondary right now in terms of a talent level.
It's time for a weekly part of this show that we call
This or That. This or That.
Yes, it's called This or That. The question today, which AFC South team has had as good or productive an offseason as the Jaguars? Of course, there are three other options.
There are three.
So you know.
Well, I'm going to say none. And I think there are teams that have come close. I know the Titans had a good draft. I get all that. But in terms of the offseason, which always has to be tempered with it's not the season yet, Malik Jackson, Deshaun Gibson, Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack. You're talking about a huge influx of talent, and I probably only mentioned half.
Oh,
so I'm going to say
Fowler,
right.
Coming back after missing last year, Sheldon Day, just to name a couple.
We haven't even mentioned Chris Ivory. We haven't mentioned Kelvin Beach. I mean, I don't think there's any team in the league that's had as good an offseason on paper. And to me, Brian, I keep saying, I don't think the problem with the – if there's a problem with the Jaguars next year, I don't think it's going to be talent. I think for the first time they have enough talent to get this thing done. I think the issue will be more – how it develops, how it matures, if there are things we're not seeing yet. But talent-wise, this is going to be the best team they've had in 4 years.
And just for the sake of argument, I'll say the Colts, because Andrew Luck is healthy, and they're starting to talk about long-term extension for him. But I like Ryan Kelly. I like a big body up front. And I like a big body on the defensive line, the big defensive tackle from Texas for them. You know, for years, especially in the Ryan Grigson era, they went small, and they didn't grab the big guys, and they needed them up front. I think the Colts are primed for a nice bounce back. I'm not a believer in the Texans. I know what they can do on defense.
Got a new quarterback.
Yeah, and how many games has he started? Seven.
Yeah.
Seven.
There you go.
Seven. You're so desperate.
You are a hater a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. They're so desperate for a quarterback that they throw $17 million at a guy without giving, without knowing what he really is long term. I talked about it on the deck last fall at one point, and I said, they're either going to get to a position where they get lucky or they're going to get desperate. And I don't think they got lucky. I think they were desperate.
Well, they didn't take Blake Bortles when they had a chance.
And you know what? And I've said that to you before, have I not? Right. And that's it. They screwed up. They took Jadeveon Clowney, a defensive end, instead of Blake Bortles. Mm-hmm. They already had a good defensive end, a great defensive end in Watt, and a great pass rusher in Marcellus Wiley. They weren't sure. They hadn't seen enough yet. So let's take Jadeveon Clowney, who can't get on the field, and pass on a franchise quarterback. Dumb move. Really dumb, Texans.
You can get a piece of history from Everbank Field. Souvenir seats are available. $250 per pair, plus sales tax and fees. 100% of those proceeds will come back to the improvements of the U.S. Assure Club. They'll be done right around July. The new seats will be in. Actually started putting in the things that hold the seats up.
The things.
Yesterday on the east side, on the upper end of the club. So check it out, jaguars.com/souvenir seats. We welcome in our next guest. Jeff Darlington is a reporter for NFL Network. He was here last week after the draft. What's up, Jeff?
How you doing?
Good, man.
Doing all right.
Yeah. We're going to ask you the question to start this off that we were just talking about. Which team in the AFC South has had as good or productive an offseason as the Jags?
As the Jags? Nobody. I think you could say that nobody in the NFL has had the offseason that the Jaguars have had. The key to this, and you guys were touching on it, is the development of these players. The one thing that's sort of making me nervous for the Jaguars, and I've been sort of driving the bandwagon a little bit for the past year or so on the Jaguars, thinking they're really going to be something special. And now I think I'm going to couch that slightly and say that these risen expectations as a result of what was a very successful offseason could be a little bit too high from the standpoint that this team still needs to come together. Like, I personally think they're a year away from contending for the conference championship. I don't think that they are there this year, but I think that being said, this has been an incredible offseason for them, yes.
Yeah, so the expectation, though, this year, what would be the expectation this year, then?
My expectation is not nearly as high as everyone else's, and this is coming from someone who, and I'm talking probably more from a national perspective. I know the local vibe is much more educated, but from a national perspective, my expectation for this year, like, I think a 9-7 season is very adequate, if not extremely solid. I'm not thinking of this team as being the 11-12 win team that I think a lot of people are suddenly saying this team's going to win the division right away. They're going to They're going to be ripping off wins. Like, I think they're going to take a huge step from last year, which I know eye roll, cue the eye rolls, but I think they took a huge step from last year, and I think they put themselves now in the spot where in 2017 we're talking about them as one of the dominant teams in the conference, which might drive people in Jacksonville nuts from the standpoint of, God, we just have to keep waiting, but that's part of the deal. Like, that's part of what they're building and what they're doing, and I really think if you look at a team like Seattle, it's following very closely the blueprint that the Seattle Seahawks dealt with, and it took some level of patience, but once they got there, they are seemingly dominant for several years now.
Is it part of the deal, Jeff, just because when you're dealing with young players, yeah, there's more of a learning curve than people expect, meaning as good as rookies might be, it's still going to be year two before you see that real thrust of impact?
Well, 100%. I mean, look, those guys are going to get on the field and they're going to win this year. They're going to win more games off of talent alone. That defense, yes, Malik Jackson needs to be an immediate impact player. I'm talking more along the lines of, you know, we look at Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, and Don Teller Jr. have never even played an NFL down. And that is a large reason why the Jaguars have such higher expectations this year. Based on, really, honestly, you guys were talking about Brock Osweiler. Total unknown. I mean, I'm not trying to compare them to Osweiler, but in some sense, heightened expectations based on an unknown is a scary thing. I believe the Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be so much better in 2017, but like you said, they've got to develop. They've got to come together. They've got to learn the NFL game, and that's easier. That's easier said than done.
You guys, if we're talking expectations here, I know I mentioned this last week. I go back to the 96 team that drafted mm-hmm. Kevin Hardy, Tony Brackens, and Aaron Beasley, 1, 2, 3. And those guys were the cornerstones on defense for the next 5 years as the team made a couple of mm-hmm. appearances in the AFC title game. But they weren't ready to play. I mean, Kevin right. had the sack and the interception on opening day, and Brack and Beasley made some plays. But you didn't start to see them play consistently until November, when this team caught
right.
fire. So,
Jalen Ramsey's going to be a freaking stud in this league, right? I mean, nobody questions that. But is he going to do it in 2016?
Yeah, I think if Blake carries this team like Mark did that team, then the defense has a chance to get through a tough part of the schedule and mm-hmm. to then maybe get some ground underneath them in October and turn it into November and then make a run. And I think 9-7, which is what that team ironically finished at, 9-7 would be a reasonable record. But if people are expecting them to come in and put their feet on the ground right away and dominate on opening day, their expectations are way out of whack. But by November, you should start to be able to look at these guys and say, wow, look at that. Look at what the future looks like.
Totally. Totally agree. And I'm going to really annoy Jaguars fans with this one, but I am scared for Gus Bradley. Like, I think that the expectations have been heightened to such a point that this guy is going to have to quickly get these guys over the hump, or he's going to be hearing it from that fan base. Dave Caldwell has done, quite frankly, I think, an exceptional job. I think you could make the case early on for NFL Executive of the Year. But that puts even more pressure on Bradley now that he's got those defensive players. The scary proposition there is, again, we're talking about real promise here, real promise. But can it happen this year fast enough for those who are kind of anti-Gus Bradley to really hold on? I hope that's the case, because I compare Gus Bradley to someone like Ron Rivera. Rivera was like a game away from getting fired. In fact, some people believe that the team was ready to fire him, and all of a sudden, click, it changed. And look back now. Like, I hope that Gus Bradley goes that route, but I am scared for him in 2016.
Jeff Darlington with us from NFL Network was here a little less than a week ago after the draft. Well, you had an interview with Ramsey and Jack together in the weight room. You weren't ready for a workout, it looked like, Jeff. I mean, you had a full
never,
suit on.
Never.
And these guys...
I JP, I have been in that weight room twice in the past 6 months, once for Malik Jackson and once for Jalen and Miles. That is literally the two times I've entered any weight room in America in the past, like, 6 years.
What did you take from these guys to get? First off, if you'd have told somebody a week before the draft they'd be on the same roster, they'd have looked at you like you were from Mars. But what do you make of these two guys now that they're here in Jacksonville?
I love it. These guys are dogs, man. These guys are studs. They are, like, they look the part. They sound like workers. They're smart. They're respectful. And, they just look like bricks. Like, these guys are studs. They're going to be studs in the NFL. If Miles Jack is a stud for 3 years in the NFL, like, the big concern is that the cartilage separates from the knee. Whatever that is. If this guy gives you 3 great years, it is absolutely worth that pick. I argue it all day, every day. I mean, look at the Dolphins just dealt with Olivier Vernon. Look, you get a guy that's a rookie who's productive, he's going to get paid after 4 or 5 years anyway. Chances are it's going to be tough for you to pay him anyway. Draft the guy, bring him in. I applaud the Jaguars for taking that calculated risk, if you even want to call it that. If they had taken Miles Jack fifth overall, I honestly don't even think I would have had a problem with that. The fact that they got both of these guys we could look at it as one of the best 1-2 punches in NFL draft history if these guys hit.
Check out the interview, Jeff Charlington, with both Rams and Jack. We have a link to it on Jaguars.com. Jeff, it's always good to talk to you, and we appreciate your time today.
Thanks, Josh.
Jeff, thanks, buddy.
Thanks for having me on.
There he is, Jeff Darlington from NFL Network, a good friend joining us. Hey, good show today, guys.
Jeff's always really, really good and has been around this franchise quite a bit. Was here for the draft last year, if I'm not mistaken, and he knows what he's talking about. So, good insight.
Got a lot of defensive back talk today, too, with Dwayne Walker. Our thanks to Coach Walker for joining us today and for Jeff Darlington for jumping on the phone with us as well. For John Osier, Brian Sexton, everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick, and this is Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.